Hi, and welcome to the fourth of these Diagonal Walking podcasts, tracking the process of researching and writing a travel book following a new walk I've devised that slices through the heart of England. Now, if you're listening to this, you're probably up to speed on the whys and wherefores of this adventure, but if not, why not download the previous three podcasts for more background? Anyway, I'm Nick Corbell, and today I'm on my own. Thanks again to Ben Wheeler from Bucks New University for helping me out on the first three podcasts, but it's time to go solo, not least because this is pretty much how it's going to be going forward. I hope to record many of the future podcasts on the road, logging my experiences in the moment, as it were, and maybe having a podcast for each leg of the trip. But anyway, everything's up in the air at the moment, and I always meant the Diagonal Walking Project to be not just a physical journey on foot, but also a journey of discovery and learning. At this stage, I don't want to be too prescriptive on how it's going to shape up, preferring instead to maybe, you know, letting it find its own form. And that undercurrent of letting things find their own shape is very much the theme of this podcast. It's been nearly a month since my last recording, but from now on, I'm hoping that these pods will become much more frequent. A lot's been happening in that time, mostly behind the scenes, and I must admit that I'm beginning to get a bit impatient to actually be putting my boots on and to get trudging. To that end, I've started blocking out stretches of time in the diary, with the aim at the moment, it's the third week of March as I speak, to get going by the 17th of April. I want to get 5 or 6 days walking under my belt, probably by myself at first, just to get a chance to see how a typical day might shape up, and how much is involved in both the pre-planning of the leg of a trip and how much time I need to devote to the social media walk with me aspect that's so central to the project. As things stand, I've also blanked out some time early May for a follow-up leg as I have other commitments towards the end of the month. Yes, folks, I do have other commitments. Diagonal walking isn't all I do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I watch travel documentaries on TV, there's always a very fine line between the trip seeming either very natural or completely set up. There was one recently with Tony Robinson, he of Baldric in Blackadder fame, who is walking along some mystical routes or something, I can't remember. Anyway, there'd be a shot of him walking along when suddenly around a corner there'd be some random gal or geezer playing the violin or something, trying to bore us all to death on some local detail. The documentary seemed more like a series of connected dots rather than something that really flowed. What's my point? Well, in planning something like this walk, there has to be some research. Otherwise, not only am I going to miss things, but it's going to get a bit dull just listening to my ramblings. You need another perspective. On the other hand, there does have to be some room for happenstance, serendipity, chance, whatever you want to call it. And I think it's all in the balance. That's going to be interesting to find out. So, I've been spending some time seeing what's lining my route, as well as some time on the very practical task of sketching out the real footpaths, bridleways, B roads I'm going to follow. Now, it looks like the first stage is pretty straightforward, with some very long, clear, long-distance paths guiding my way south-eastwards. And there's also some long canal stretches, notably along the Runcorn arm of the Leeds and Liverpool, and after that the Trent and Mersey. Now it's very tempting to follow towpaths when I can. They tend to be fairly flat and impossible to get lost on. But at the same time, when planning the route, I'm trying to make sure I don't follow them slavishly. I want to get out of my comfort zone and to take more direct routes through countryside, villages and towns to get some variety. Besides, for those of you who know my background, canal towpaths are very much familiar territory, and part of the idea of this trip is to challenge myself. Where was I? Oh yes, planning. The route will start outside Formby and then take me down along the coast initially to Crosby and then along the fringes of Liverpool. Now given Liverpool's long history and iconic status, as well as the fact that it would be a shame just to sort of bounce along its periphery, I'm currently thinking I'm going to take a day out of the walk to become a kind of tourist with purpose, if you like. And by that, I don't just want to go and do all the Beatles-related stuff. In fact, I'm not going to do any Beatles-related stuff. I'm not really that interested in the Beatles. And in the same way, I don't expect to dawdle around at Anfield. But I do want to try and get a feel for how the city is doing at the moment as part of my wider mission to take the pulse of the country. Now, I expect my reactions to exist both in the moment and, hopefully, more fully digested after some reflection. And the reflection piece will be more what the book is that's going to come out will be all about. But to get a taste of the in-the-moment thoughts, you probably need to follow my blogs, YouTube videos and social media. So if you haven't already started to follow me on the platform or platforms of your choice, now might be the time. It's all there on the website. What else have I been up to? Well, the website's been taking quite a bit of my time. In order to save on cash, I've been learning how to play with the content of a site built by a professional designer. And a quick shout out here to Mark at Jigsaw Design. And in particular, how to optimise the SEO. Now, for those of you who are now wondering what this could stand for, maybe making up your own ideas, it means search engine optimization. In other words, it's the art of making sure that your website is constructed in a way to optimize its searchability. In other words, to get a high ranking on Google and to suck in readers who have used certain terms when searching for something, countryside, for example, or footpaths, exercise, walking. I've had a few websites over the years for different things, and I've always thought this was an area of kind of black magic, accessible only to geeks. Turns out I'm wrong, unless I've become a geek, which may be a possibility. So, like so many things with the internet, it's all got so much easier. And I have what's called a widget on my website development page with hints and tips on how both to optimize my website and its readability. Now, as you might imagine, as a writer, this has been a case of challenge accepted, especially as there's a traffic light system telling you whether you're miles off, red, getting there, amber, or good to go, green, love it. This has been fun, and I've written a blog about it, which will be on the website shortly. In the meantime, I've been trying to get some followers on my social media accounts, as I reckon that only having half a dozen wouldn't really entice other people to follow me. The line I've taken is to encourage people to be early adopters, and this has been reasonably successful. Meanwhile, I've got a long list of friends, family and contacts to email to give the whole process a shot in the arm and some momentum as soon as the website's live. Yes, back to the website. I was hoping by now this would be live, but we hit a snag with the people doing the video for me, more students from the Media Studies course at Buxton University. A short introductory video is a vital part of the homepage of the website, so it needs to be right. Well, it needs to be done. It seems that a lot of the footage we shot over a month ago had too much background noise from a nearby motorway, which couldn't be eradicated in the editing suite. As such, we had to do some reshoots, which we did last week, along with some fresh voiceovers, which we did the next day. I've seen a rough cut of the video that's going to be used on the website, and it's very nearly there, so hopefully we're back on track for a launch before Easter. Working with the students has been interesting. They're still learning their trade, the students, after all. But they're keen to learn, and the access they have to kit is extraordinary. I was with them when they were returning the camera, and there was a small warehouse of electronic stuff there, piled up on industrial shelving. I've also been having some fun testing out merch, having t-shirts, baseball hats, and even a coffee cup made up using the logo, as well as some cards for handing out. At the moment, anybody who engages me in conversation for more than 5 seconds gets the whole diagonal walking pitch, so I figured I'd better have something to hand out to them. If I do manage to get some local publicity I'm after, whether that's through websites or newspapers or the radio, I want to be recognisable as I'm walking, and so hence the t-shirt. And I reckon there's always the chance of just maybe pulling on a fleece if I want to go incognito for a while. Then there's been the issue of what to take with me and how to carry it. I won't have a backup vehicle, so I'll have to carry all that I need in my bag. I've been scouring the net for hints and tips on this and got some good stuff, and my thoughts will also form the basis of a blog to go up on the site shortly after it becomes live. As part of my general background research, I've also been doing some reading of those whose footsteps have gone before me, and I've started with the master, Bill Bryson, and his Notes from a Small Island. It's been odd going back to this book. I still love his style, but reading it now, nearly 25 years after its release, it comes over as a bit of a period piece. Still, on the other hand, so does my first book, Walking in Water, which was published in 2000. Hence, in part, this project, The Need for a Fresh Look. One interesting thing I picked up from Bryson was his ability to find somewhere to sleep for the night. When he got somewhere, he just seemed to fall into a guest house or B&B. I'm not sure that's so easy these days. B&Bs have gone on market. I mean, they can cost 100 quid a night, easy. And there's no way I would have to start thinking about where I'm going to rest my head that night, shortly after lunch each day. Now, I need a bit more structure than that, so I suspect I'm going to be more of an Airbnb person and booking in advance, but not too much in advance. Again, that's part of the point of the first leg, to see how this goes. On the other hand, I don't want to find out that I've been trudging around only to find my bed is still 5 miles away. It's all about balance again and the learning experience. Finally, I had my first candidate for someone who's actually going to walk with me in real time, my sister Sue. Welcome, Sue, who will be joining me for a stretch in the summer. Meanwhile, I'm on the lookout for more. So whether you just want to join me for a couple of miles, or for a day, or just pause for a coffee, get in touch via the website www.diagonalwalking.co.uk. Couldn't be simpler. Or if you want to make it simpler, you just use nick@diagonalwalking.co.uk. Well, that's enough for this update, I think. If you've downloaded this episode, which I guess you have, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to me droning on, then thank you. If you could do me the favour of rating it wherever you found it, I'd be eternally grateful. And do please get in touch, whether it's just words of encouragement, suggestions or request. I don't care. I'm open to anything. So long as you're not trying to convince me that the Beatles Museum is a must in Liverpool. So bye for now, and thanks for all the listening.